Today the world looks on this day as the resurrection day. To those who know the Russian language and a Russian calendar, the word Sunday is not Sunday. The word Sunday is resurrection day. And so we had the privilege of many lessons these past 2 days. I enjoyed Brother Kent's message on the 8th day. We talked about our Lord. We talked about the meaning of the bread and the cup, and what it means to us. We cherish that. And so we're going to talk about the meaning of the resurrection. Some of you may have the Greek lexicon, and if you do, look up the word resurrection and the word restitution, and you'll see the root word that it comes from. That is very interesting. Very interesting. In Job, the 14th chapter, and verse 14, the Bible asks the question, if a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, shall he live again? We know today many people in the world will probably say, well, yeah, no. If one dies, probably goes to heaven. Others just get buried and memories forgotten about. But you know how fortunate you and I are to have the understanding. If a man die, shall he live again? What would you say? Yes. He shall live again. Is there death? Yes, there is. We have evidences of it every day. And you have evidences of it in your own family life. You witnessed it. You've seen bereavement throughout the world. You've seen the pain, the sorrow that goes with it. There's no end to it. Your Surgeon General of the United States made a statement on television where you have 6,000 people die per day in Africa, young and old, not just from AIDS, but from all sorts of diseases that you may have. The children have a hard time coping, and we do see the evidence of death. And we can certainly say, if a man die, shall he live again? Yes. Those who do not believe in the resurrection of the dead, is there any need in believing in the resurrection if you don't believe in the raising of the dead? There's no need. There's no need in believing in it. But because there is a resurrection of the dead, therefore we have that hope for the entire world of mankind that there will be a resurrection. You remember the words of Jesus, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. You know, we talked about the memorial. How many years ago was it the first time the memorial was introduced? Anyone remember? You can calculate it. I didn't write it on the blackboard here. But it's a long, long time ago for you and me, isn't it? When we look back, when we think about it. Yes. It's been a long time since Jesus lived in Palestine. It's been a long time since we have been accustomed and seen this small group of godly men walking from town to town. And so the question is, how is man redeemed? Who is it that he is to return from the dead? We can see that God couldn't see you or me to redeem Adam and his children. Why? Very simple, isn't it? Because you and I are not perfect. That's why. It is because none are perfect that the Bible says, no man can redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. That's true. Because we are an imperfect life. It is not enough. And so, by the same token also, the angels, they couldn't redeem Adam. Because God's law is absolute. The ransom must be equivalent. Not more, not less, no, but a corresponding price. And that is why Jesus came to earth. He came as a man. He had to be a human. He had to be a perfect. He had to be better than the rest. Therefore, he was able to redeem Adam. And by redeeming Adam, the father of every member of the human race, he redeemed the race as well. It was brought here and through our discourse that John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. The sin of the world. Who's the world? Adam. That's his world. The human life is Adam's world. And he redeemed that race. He redeemed all of Adam's children, which is you and me. And that's why Paul says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And again, by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. How wonderful. Resurrection of the dead. We talked about a posters appearing along the highways by some who are claiming that on May the 21st this year, there's going to be a rapture. Or they claim there's going to be 100 million people are going to be taken up to heaven. And what happens with the rest? I didn't have to tell you. From May the 21st, he's got the date set. From May the 21st to October the 21st is when the earth and the heavens will burn up. It'll take that long. I'm not going to tell you anymore what else he said about the human life, where they're going to be lying around. But talk about blindness. And on the posters he said that God guarantees it. And that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a day of judgment on May the 21st. God guarantees it. And I thought it'd be good for brethren, in their ecclesia, I don't have it with me here, but the tract, the earth abideth forever. And there's your opportunity, you can put an ad in the paper. Large headlines, the earth abideth forever. You can display a booklet you'd like to give on there. God and Reason also tells you about the earth abiding forever. Plus peace through Christ's kingdom. But there's your opportunity to give a witness. Because I'm sure a lot of people will be concerned about it. And so we find Jesus. Yes, he was perfect. But as a perfect man, that wasn't enough. Jesus had to die. God's law of justice. The just for the unjust. The obedient for the disobedient. And we remember the text. As we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. He tasted death for every man. Yes, Jesus had to die. And that's why he came to die as a ransom. But the world doesn't know that. They look at Sunday as a resurrection day. Resurrection day for Jesus, that's about it. Nobody else. It has no meaning to them. And so, we have this scripture mentioned to us at this convention. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now you and I know how he came. He came as a perfect man. Now we know why he came, to taste death for every man. And so these are biblical facts that make the truth of the resurrection of the dead a reasonable conclusion. For many people do not know these facts. To many, the resurrection has no reasonable meaning whatsoever. And you know, we've heard it said before, we can blame the creeds for that. No, man does not die. We've been to a number of funerals through some of the religious organizations. God love them all. But they say that death is not an enemy. It's a surprise. They claim that death is a friend. Because you enter another portal, is what it is. That's what they claim. Yes. What was interesting, I mentioned this before. There was a Gallup poll taken of how many people believe in the resurrection of the dead. I don't know if you remember that or not, but there was one Gallup poll done in England, in Britain. One was done in America here. In Great Britain, 46% of the people of Britain do not believe in a resurrection. And it's, they think that, well, when you die, it's either there or there, so why believe in resurrection? There's no need to. In the United States and America, which includes Canada as well, 26%, which is much better. 26% in America. And it comes out to almost one person in every four. They do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They believe that at death, it's all over. That's it. It's all finished. And so we see that the Bible account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is well known. We study a lot when we talk about what happened after Jesus was raised from the dead. We find how the women came to the tomb, and they came there and the tomb was empty. And there was Mary meeting him in the garden, Cleopas on the way to Emmaus, and how he appeared in the upper room, and how he appeared on the seashore, and how he ascended into the clouds. And so we're familiar with these events in the Bible. Did you ever ask yourself a question? If Christ had not risen from the dead, where would the hope of Christianity be today? Supposing Christ had been just a good man. Yes, there are a lot of good men in the world. We know that. Suppose he was just a good teacher. Well, yes, there's been a lot of good teachers. And if Jesus had not risen from the dead, Christianity would have died in Palestine with him. That was it. But that is not the gospel. That is not the message of the angel at the tomb. Mark 16:16 records the words of the angel. It was brought to our attention here yesterday. Be not be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Behold the place where they laid him. Nor is it what the disciples shouted as they returned to Jerusalem. They said, the Lord is risen. This Jesus that God raised up where we are witnesses. And the Apostle Paul told us how Christ has not, if Christ was not risen from the dead, what would it be? 1 Corinthians 15:14-18, and many of the other scriptures brought to our attention here yesterday. If Christ be not risen, Paul says, then is our preaching in vain. Your faith is also in vain. If Christ be not raised from the, be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also that have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Yes, it would have happened. Our preaching would have been vain. The message of the kingdom would be worthless. Yes. All the effort, all the sacrifice gone to naught. Peace on earth, delusion. Thy kingdom come, our hopes. Our fate, based on a folly. If Christ be not risen, you are yet in your sins, Paul says. You are yet in your sins, no matter if you have repeated and doing right or wrong. You are yet in your sins. No matter how moral your life, no matter how pure your words and thoughts may be, no matter how you love righteousness and hate iniquity. No, none of this matters. If Christ be not risen, you are yet in your sins. And you say, wait a minute, why? Because you're under Adamic condemnation. Christ had not appeared in the presence of God for us yet. No ransom has been applied on our behalf. And those fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Mankind forever dead. Death ends it all. Now, that's how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is to you and to me. That does not mean eternal torment for anyone. But it does help. It helps you and me to understand John 3:16. It was brought to our attention here yesterday as well. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Wonderful. Wonderful. He loved his Son so much. But he loved the world. He loved Adam and his family. And that's why he gave up his Son. Because after all, the earth abided forever. He created this earth not in vain. He created it to be inhabited. This is man's home. The world doesn't understand that. But you do, the disciples did, and they bring it to our attention. That's why it says, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and he became the first fruits of them that slept. Oh, first fruits, who are they? Where do they come from? And because he lives, we too shall live. Remember that? Now there is a meaning to the words, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, if he were dead, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Christ is raised from the dead. That's what the world celebrates today, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. But they don't realize it. Way back then, He is now living as a redeemer. He has the power of the resurrection for all whom he has redeemed. But according to the Word of God, there's more than one resurrection in the Bible. And you know that. And we love that. Yes, there's the first resurrection. And then there's also another resurrection we call general resurrection, but there's no scripture to tell us that, is there? But we know there is. I think Brother Homer brought that out yesterday. Yes. Paul says in the 6th chapter, verses 3 to 5, "Know ye not that so many of us have been baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been united in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. I believe, and so do you, that Paul is here talking of the Christians, those who are consecrated to God, those who dedicate their heart's desire to serve the Lord, to follow in his footsteps. They walk in newness of life. That is, their life has been renewed. Renovated. Brother Homer brought that out. They are new creatures of God in Christ Jesus. Christians walk with God. They are not under condemnation. They walk in newness of life, and they are buried with him. That is, they have buried completely, self-emerged their wills to the doing of the will of God. You and I are united with him, and you and I have been, if we're faithful, will be in the likeness of his resurrection. We shall be like him. We shall see him as he is, as a spiritual being. Listen to Apostle Paul as he describes the Christian's release from Adamic condemnation and how his new life in Christ, which leads to the first resurrection. This is in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verses 10 and 11. Paul says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." And we have that beloved book in the Bible called Revelation. Revelation 20. As we look at verses 4 to 6. John the Revelator says, "I saw the thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And then he says, "This is the first resurrection." Then he says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." Why? Because on such the second death had no power. "But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Yes, this text tells us who shall reign with him, right? It tells us very specifically how long they shall reign with him. Other scriptures tell us the purpose of this reign, the purpose of this millennial reign that we talk about, for the resurrection of the dead. But to you and to me, it means much more than just the first resurrection. And this was brought to our attention, John 5, 28 and 29. This is a scripture that I have never hear some of our Christian friends read in their sermons. Jesus says, marvel not at this, for all that are, the hour is coming, which all those which are in their grave shall hear his voice. You ever wonder what does it mean, his voice? What are they going to hear? I was asked that question in Europe. What are they going to hear? What are the words that they're going to hear? Think about it. That will be your homework. This scripture we use as we refer to the general resurrection. It's a wonderful scripture. All that are in the grave shall hear his voice. You remember Job? Job says, if you call, I'll answer. Oh, wait a minute, you're dead, Job. How can you call? Job would have to be awakened from the sleep of death to be able to answer. Yes. A resurrection of the dead. And that's why Paul says, as in Adam all die. Yes. And so in Christ shall all be made alive. A-double-L. Brother Homer brought that out to our attention. A-double-L. And every man in his own order. That's nice. Yes. Every man in his own order. And so it is important. It will be. Now we know. I think as Brother Byron brought out the fact about two salvations. Now we know there are two parts of the kingdom of God. Did you know that? We did know that when we became Bible students, right? Yeah. There's the heavenly part, and there's the earthly part also. But you know what's neat? Our Christian friends, they pray the Lord's Prayer time and time again, every week, every Sunday. You hear it at funerals, you hear it any, you know, so many different places. And so, we pray for the earthly part, yes. Every time we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They don't realize that. They don't realize that. We know the church. You know who the church is. The true church of this gospel age. They will attain a spirit nature in the first resurrection. But that is not all that there is to it. Because the resurrection of Jesus, which is almost 2,000 years ago, was wonderful. Wonderful. We talk about Easter Sunday. But just think how wonderful it will be. The resurrection of the true church. Think about it. The true church being resurrected to spiritual immortality. How wonderful that will be. But the full benefits, the full blessing of this stupendous promise of the resurrection of the dead will not only be attained to a few, but it'll be attained to all the families of the earth. You know what's nice? We often read about that promise made to Father Abraham. And here you are. If you're faithful unto death, you and I, we're going to fulfill that promise which was made to Father Abraham. Indeed, I see shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All are willing and obedient of earth's billions that have died. There was a survey done by an institution of how many people may have died since from Adam till now. Brother also gave some figures. But these people gave a different figure, much higher than Brother Russell's. Brother Russell had it up to 40 billion, but these people have, he says, it could be as high as 60 billion. And the first thing you think in your mind is, well, how that can be possible? Where is there room on this earth for 60 billion people? They took a calculation of all the deserts, all the land that is available on this earth, this globe we live on. And if you were to take those 60 billion people, divide them equally, no cities, divide them equally throughout the world, how many would you have per square mile? That was interesting. Less than 200. That's how big your earth is. Less than 200 per square mile. Today in Canada, the population we have there, if you divide them equally on the arable land that we have, you'd have 5 people per square mile. I think, Brother Homer, you made that statement one time. Drive through Canada and you see all the open spaces. There's a room for all the dead. You can take the people of New York, of Manhattan, take them into the state of Maine, and you wouldn't find them. Yes, there's plenty of room. Yes, brethren, we'll have the opportunity, if we're faithful, to help these billions of people out of the graves. Lift them out of condemnation. Lift them out of sin, out of sickness, out of every form of death. And they'll be placed, returned to this earth in the kingdom of God. Where all the tears, all the sorrow, all the weeping, all the pain, and all the bereavement, all the unhappy things that have been upon mankind for the past 6,000 years will give place to peace on earth at last. Goodwill towards men. Only then, brethren, will the resurrection work be complete. Only then will mankind understand the true meaning of John 3:16. That God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Only then. And so now is Christ risen from the dead. And Jesus said in John 12:32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Because He lives, we too shall live. And if a man dies, shall he live again? Yes, he shall live again. Because Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. And when will the dead return? After the church is complete. Then the dead will return to this earth to receive the blessings of the kingdom of God. That's the meaning of the resurrection of the dead. Resurrection Sunday. May the Lord add His blessing.